This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds. To boldly go where no one has gone before.
Engage. Enterprise.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Janeway.
Captain Sisko.
This is Captain Jonathan Archer.
Red alert.
Photon torpedoes, fire.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Engage.
Make it so.
With your host, Jordan Hoffman.
That, sir, is illogical.
And make sure history never forgets.
This is Engage.
Sailing frequencies open, sir.
Wait, hold the phone, everybody. Hold the phone, everybody, to your battle stations. This is a red alert. This is a red alert. This is the new and latest episode of Engage, the official Star Trek podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hoffman. And, you know, when you run the battles, the flagship of the Federation's armored fleet, science vessel, exploration vessel, whatever you want to call it, the most important thing is to have everybody lined up together. You want to have the engineering crew and the helmsmen and everybody ready to plunge into battle as one. And what happened last week, Brian?
Well, I was here ready to record after some big news, but you didn't show up.
Right. The trailer, the long-awaited trailer of Star Trek Discovery, dared to enter space to drop from space dock, and I was away. They dared do this without me. I was out of the country. I was away on business, a planned date. And you know what? You can't just stop for one guy. You know, they say you never leave a man behind. Sometimes you got to do it. I was the red shirt. I was the red shirt on this mission. And that's okay, because in the long scheme of things, it's not a big deal. The point is that we had the trailer drop a week ago, and I was away in France, of all places, if you can believe such a thing, on business. So I was unable to scream and yell about it here on this podcast. But luckily, we're here now. So it's time to talk about it, and also to talk a little bit about the news that came from it. I don't want to dwell on all those aspects too much. I want to talk more about the specifics of the trailer itself that I'm very excited about. But and what we're going to do is we're going to watch it together. Now, how are we going to watch it together on a podcast? We're going to go to YouTube and hit play, and I'm going to hit pause. Well, I'm going to wave my arm around like a lunatic. And Brian's going to hit pause, and then you can watch it too, and maybe it'll all sync up. And if it doesn't, if you're driving, don't, you know, pull over and whip out your iPhone or your Droid or whatever you use. But first of all, Brian, what'd you think of the trailer?
It looks good. It looks like it has some decent production value. I mean, it was kind of cool to see some out of ship stuff. Like, you saw some people in
the EVA.
Yes,
that is the best EVA. Protection unit.
Yeah.
Protection
like
gear.
A suit. Yeah.
The best EVA, extravehicular, what does the A stand for in EVA?
I have no idea.
Extravehicular activity, I guess.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
It's the best one that's ever been on Star Trek.
Yeah, it looked great.
I'm saying it right now. Yeah. Season 3, Tholey and Webb had one that looked like a vacuum cleaner. And Star Trek: The Motion Picture had a pretty cool one when Spock had his.
That's true.
Had his, you know, meet Hal when he sort of mind melded with V'ger, and they had that 2001: A Space Odyssey kablooey ending, and that was a pretty good one. And then I got to say, my beloved Star Trek: First Contact, the movie that I love, had a really cool scene where they're using their gravity boots and they're walking around on the hull. And if you remember, Worf has the great line, "Assimilate this," which is one of the most fun action-adventure sequences in all of Star Trek. I will say, despite my love and admiration for that moment, the suits are a little bit They didn't quite have it. They were the least exciting part of that sequence. The suits are simply fine. They're simply adequate, in my opinion. The suit that we see for 0.003 seconds in this trailer, that Corporal or Lieutenant Michael Burnham, played by Sonequa Martin-Green, is that actually Corporal Lieutenant? We're going to watch the trailer together. I'm going to be reminded of it. She, her suit looks dynamite. So what happened for me is I was overseas in France when it aired. And I want to, this is going to address another issue, which is I want people once again to calm down a little, because they, you know, there are a lot of people that are excited. There are a lot of people that are trepidatious about things. They don't want to say I love it because maybe they don't, because they haven't seen it. It is still a marketing trailer. And those people actually I respect. Because if you go bananas and love something based on the trailer, you don't love the thing, you love the trailer. And then there are some people that say, I hate this. Very few. I hate this because they don't like the trailer. Well, you've only seen the trailer, dummy. If you watch this show and hate it, God bless. But if you hate it before you've seen it, you're an idiot. I've said it.
You got to give everything a chance.
You got to give everything a chance. And then there are a couple of very few jokers who were trolls on the internet that made big news, which I want to talk about a little bit. I don't know. Maybe you were lucky enough to not even read about this. But the point I'm making is... what was the point I was making? So excited about this. Oh, yeah, yeah. So this one dude. So I was in France, in the great nation of France. I was there for works at the Cannes Film Festival. It's a lovely place. And the trailer launched, and it was kind of late at night. I'm going to say it was 11 p.m. French time, right? So that makes it 6 hours plus. So it was 5 p.m. here in New York and even earlier in Los Angeles. And the trailer launched in the U.S. And because Star Trek is currently produced by a very large corporate entity with a zillion whistles and bells to it and a million different departments and a lot of interlocking things that make this deal possible in the first place, to get a new Star Trek off the ground is almost impossible. They said you couldn't put a man on the moon until they built the Saturn V rocket. But they did it because it took a lot of energy from a lot of different... This is like the legal version of getting a man on the moon. It's getting Star Trek back on TV or a streaming platform or whatever you want to call it. So as we know, in the United States, it's going to air on CBS All Access. All hail CBS All Access for making this show happen. In Canada, it's going to air on something called Crave Network, which is... Some who the heck knows what goes on in Canada, but they roam around in streetcars, they have free medical care, and they use Crave. And in Europe, and I'm assuming Latin America and Russia and other places like that, they're going to have it on Netflix. I don't know what they're going to watch it in China. I don't know if they're going to get to watch it in China. Who knows? But those are the big three. Now, I was in Europe at the time, and so when it launched in the U.S., the trailer did not launch everywhere simultaneously. I'm building to something here. So I had to wait. Do you know how long I had to wait until I got to see the trailer?
I don't know.
I had to wait 24 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 25. Less than 30 is my point. But that was enough to send one guy into spastic oblivion. There's a guy on the internet, and you can Google it and you Google Star Trek. He's from Canada. And, I say unto him, if you're listening to this, I understand you. Because I love Star Trek. And he did a video of himself in front of all of his Star Trek memorabilia. He had every Blu-ray. He had every DVD. And I got to watch him over the course of a very lengthy YouTube rant. Watch his soul just evaporate into frustration. And I want to say to that guy... There was no one for those 20 minutes more frustrated than me, the host of the Star Trek podcast. I wanted to watch the trailer, and my phone's blown up. Holy crap, did you see it? Oh my God, Michelle Yeoh. Wait, was that the Klingon? Wait, is she a Vulcan? What the heck's going on? And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And 20 minutes later, I was satiated. 20 minutes later, I was like, my feet were burning hot, and I got to put them in an icy pool to chill them out. But what I want to say to this guy is, I understand your frustration. Just chill out. It's a TV show that we love, for a franchise we love, that has a lot of different moving parts. And it would have been cooler if it all launched simultaneously on your... It was called geo-blocked. It was geo-blocked in Canada for 20 minutes, as it was for me in France for 20 minutes. It was geo-blocked. I had to hit refresh on Twitter constantly, and I eventually saw it. So is that a mistake? Sure, it's a little bit of a mistake. But it is something that, if that is the least of your worries in life, you live a very blessed life.
Just the fact that that guy had that amount of stuff ready to go in that short amount of time.
Yeah,
that...
no, I think he probably made his video the next day. It was something that kept him up at night, and it was like it was the last straw for him. Now, who knows what else is going on in this poor man's life? Maybe he lost his job, or he, you know, he hasn't gone on a date in a while, or who knows? And I have nothing but sympathy for the man. And actually, he's very funny. His rant, although completely from the warped perspective, is one of the better ones out there. So my point is to that guy and to everybody else, I want you to calm down. Now, the number one problem that people have been having with the new, I want to start with the negatives so we can dig our teeth into the positives. The one thing that I do kind of agree with a little bit is the bridge of the ship does not quite look like what I was fantasizing the bridge of the ship would look like. It looks a little dark, and it looks kind of has that chrome purplish blue off-gray Battlestar Galactica The Expanse type look. But what we're seeing is the bridge of the Shinzu. We're not seeing the bridge of the Discovery.
That is true.
So we don't know what the bridge of the Discovery looks like. The bridge of the Discovery may very well look exactly like that. And I'm talking less about the shape and the decor and the design than simply the colors.
Coloring, yeah. It's a little dark and gritty.
A little dark. And this is my only negative thing to say, is that when I saw that bridge, I'm like, oh, it's a little dark, because I love the original series bridge, which is bright. The lights are on. Everything's bright.
Absolutely.
Next Generation. You know, it's tan. It looks sort of like a dentist's office in there, but it's still very lovely.
It does look good.
And then Voyager is similar. And then the Enterprise bridge is similar. Enterprise, you know, Archer's Enterprise, similar to what we see in this trailer, you know, just hue-wise. I'm talking about the hue. But, like, it was as if they went off of that and then turned, if they had a dimmer switch, and just made it a little bit darker. So that was the one thing that made me say, oh, man. But we don't even know if that's the you know, from what I gather, and from what little I know about the story, everything we see on the bridge in this very short trailer is the bridge of the Shenzhou. For all we know, when our character, Michael Burnham, leaves the Shenzhou for reasons that are maybe implied in this trailer, because that Lieutenant Saru, the big alien, smells death or whatever he does, maybe the Shenzhou blows up, and then we go to the Discovery, and it's like more in tune with what I'm saying. I don't expect it to look like the TOS bridge. I don't expect the costumes, the uniforms, the gadgets to look like the original series, because that would be ridiculous, because then it would look like a Saturday Night Live parody.
Yeah.
There was a recent Saturday Night Live parody when Chris Pine was on SNL, and they did a sketch, Star Trek sketch. Did you see this?
I don't think I did.
It was dumb. So it was pretty bad, actually. It was Pine was on SNL to promote Wonder Woman, which, by the way, Brian, you know where I'm going the minute we're done recording?
I'm guessing you're going to see Wonder Woman.
Can you get out of work? I could try to bring you.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Let's find out.
I really could. I'm going at 2. It's now 11:40. I'm going today. I was hoping we could record this after I saw Wonder Woman so I could talk about Chris Pine's performance.
Uh-huh.
I hear it's good. So anyway, Pine was on SNL, and he did a, you know, they do Trek parodies in the past, and it was just like any other, and it was the recreation of the TOS bridge. If you had made, for those of them, those people out there saying, oh, I miss, you know, why doesn't the uniform look like a TOS uniform? Why don't the gadgets look like TOS gadgets? If it did, it would look like SNL. You would not be able to take it seriously. It has to look like modern television, which is why the displays don't look like the displays. And we're going to talk about this when we get to this, but like the sort of touchscreen stuff. Although there are buttons. I noticed buttons on the bridge also, but the displays have to look like modern stuff. This is a show produced in 2017. But the color scheme, to the naysayers, I will say, the color schemes was a mild disappointment. Now, once I watched, if the entire show is the same bridge as the same color scheme, will I, you know, hurl my television set into the sea? No. I have a hunch that within 5.5 minutes, I'm going to be so engrossed in the saga, and I would want nothing more than my beloved Michael Burnham to succeed in whatever travails she's doing, and Captain Michelle Yeoh's character Captain Giorgio, and that big alien who smells death, and the dude who looks like Lobot, and the blue guy who does not look like a Bolian because he's got like washers on his face. All those dudes, you know, and there's a redhead in there running around. That's always nice. So, you know, I have a hunch that I'm going to stop caring very quickly. And first episode of Enterprise, Broken Bow, is a little bit of like, if this show takes place before TOS, why does it look like? Because I'm not an idiot. Because I have to accept that you know, real life and
has to evolve
lore. Lore has to, you know, lore and mythos have to take a backseat to reality to a degree. Now, there are other cool nods in the trailer, like the communicator looks a lot like a TOS communicator, but sleek, but streamlined. I think that's going to work out to be, do you know the literary term or the etymological term, a synecdoche, like when a small symbol represents the wider whole?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I may be using it incorrectly. Synecdoche, like Synecdoche, New York was the movie.
Okay.
So synecdoche, synecdoche is like when a little thing represents the bigger picture. I think that communicator is going to be the synecdoche of this show. It looks an awful lot like the one that should, quote unquote, should be used at the time, but sleeker and a little bit more believable for 2017, even though it's set at roughly the same time as TOS.
Yeah.
So with that, what do you say we watch the trailer? And that, you know, when we get to that first shot, I will say when we get to that first shot of the bridge, you know, the first time I watched it, I went a little, but everything else on here looks like real cool stuff. So now we're going to try to do, if you've got your laptops in front of you and you want to play along, we're going to put the audio through. We're going to watch Star Trek Discovery First Look trailer on YouTube, which is on the official Star Trek YouTube channel. It currently has over 5 million views. And we're going to add to that a little bit. So, Brian, are we ready to hit play at the 000 mark?
Yes, we are.
All right. In 3, 2, 1. All right. We got a logo for All Access. We got sand on a desert planet. Might be Vulcan. We don't know. 10 years before Kirk, Spock, and the Enterprise. All right. Hit pause. All right. That's a little bit annoying.
Yeah,
because it's 10 years before Kirk got, you know, got his commission. All right, cool. 10 years before Spock. Well, excuse me, Spock was working with Captain Pike at the time, and the Enterprise. Is there not a Captain Archer? Was there not already an Enterprise?
That's
they
true.
Need the new Enterprise. But I understand and I embrace CBS All Access's marketing plan to make this show for everyone that knows Kirk and Spock and maybe doesn't think about Captain Archer as often as they should.
Well, you have to think that this was also premiered at the upfronts for CBS, so they want to...
Oh, it was for the suits!
Yeah, it was for the suits.
Oh, dopes. Had I been at the upfront... What are the upfronts? Tell... Because you work in the biz, Brian.
Not really.
I don't really know what upfronts
the upfront,
are.
It's just you present your upcoming... Slate of to programming for advertisers.
So like the guy from Doritos is there thinking, all right, I got
I got to get it on this Star Trek Discovery.
I got X amount of money to spend this year on my Doritos campaign. I'm going to give some to CSI. I'm going to give some to another CBS show. And let's see what this new Trek is about. And then they get blown away and they call their boss. They go, holy crap, this new show is going to be awesome. We got to align and give them all of our money.
Yes.
All right, cool. So for those guys, they don't know about Enterprise maybe. So it does say 10 years before Kirk, Spock, and the Enterprise, parentheses, the Enterprise that you know, e.g. William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, and Bones McCoy. It really should read before Kirk, Spock, and Bones, but that's all right. I'm gonna. All right, so far, so good. You've alleviated my annoyance of that. All right, let's get back to it. They were on the desert, and 3, 2, 1.
Captain, where are we going? We have no map, and you can't set a course without a star.
There was Discovery.
It's hard to imagine. You've served under me for 7 years.
All right, hit clock. All right, first of all, Michelle Yeoh, fantastic actress. I believe she is Malaysian, if I'm not mistaken. We know her from, she was, her most famous thing is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon,
yes.
Right? Okay, that's, which is a masterpiece. Maybe one of the best, certainly the most, in the U.S. anyhow, the most.
It was a very prominent when it came out.
It was a big, big, big success at the box office, and it got Academy Award nominations for virtually everything you can imagine. And she's great in it. So she is our Captain Georgiou, and the secret thing she says to her first officer, the XO, who we now know as Burnham, she says, you've been with me for 7 years. It's time for you to move on. That's a bit of a magic number because that's how long Riker served under Picard, was 7 years.
That's true.
7 years is as long as a, you know, prime Trek show ever lasted. TOS, 3 seasons. Enterprise only got 4, but the other 3 got 7. DS9, Voyager, and Next Gen all got 7. So she's right. 7 years is what you get. Michael Burnham, why do you stay in the shadow of your commanding officer? Let's go back to the tape in 3, 2, 1.
Commander Burnham,
I think it is time we talked about you having your own command.
2 to transport.
All right, hit pause. Why, one more question, because we have no maps, we have no guidance, it was as if they were lost, and then she whips out her communicator and suddenly the ship comes to get them. What do you think is happening in this scene? I think there's some kind of fake out going on. I think that the
potentially. I mean, they could be talking about something different and not their actual situation in the moment. But it's also maybe she's just saying like, "Hey, I know what I'm doing, and you don't yet." But but let's give you a command.
But a minute ago, she was she was saying, "But Captain, we, you know, how are we going to find something?" And then maybe this is actually a later bit in the scene we don't realize.
It could. I mean, I think it's just going with that theme of discovery. It's like, oh, hey, there's some more to it than stars, charts, and maps and things. That there's there's an innate sense of discovery.
All right, okay, I'm buying that. And now we see the ship, which I believe is the Shenzhou, coming through a cloud or a nebula. It's implied by the editing of this trailer that the ship is like picking them up almost in a suborbital space, like they're coming into the atmosphere, which is very rare. I don't know, because in a moment they're going to get beamed. But before we do, go a few frames more. Let's take a look at the ship. And there it is. It's sort of like a hybrid of... it looks a little bit like the ship we saw once before in the very, very small teaser trailer, which had that sort of look based on the old Ralph McQuarrie drawings for Star Trek Phase 2. But it does have a little bit of a look of the NX ships from Enterprise, and what will eventually be what we know as the TOS Constitution class ships, because it has sort of that triangular body, and then the nacelles are kind of wide and down. And then if you really look at it hard, the saucer is a little bit small compared to the rest of it, right?
Yeah, it does look a little small.
I'm not putting the ship down, don't get me wrong. I'm just sort of really thinking about it. And it does sort of look like almost has like a buggy quality to it, right?
The ship's body looks a little wider too than most other ships that I've
seen. Yeah, well, it looks pretty cool. So let's continue on now. And it's making all kinds. And there, here, wait, hit pause real quick. All right, so we saw the beginning of a beam out. And if you go back a little bit, frame by frame, can we do that? Do we have frame by frame technology here on Deck 44? By the way, I was doing it myself on my laptop and I'm already lost. So, all right, here we go. This is going to be worth it. Trust me. All right, hit pause. If you see, the way this beams out is a little bit different. There's almost like a grid pattern forming around like the backs of their head.
Yes.
It looks like Tron.
It does look a little bit like Tron. Okay, I can see that.
They're going into Tron. That's the secret of Discovery. This is actually a Tron crossover. Wouldn't that be something? Look at how cool Michelle Yao looks. So she's got, it's pronounced yo, I was told. So she's got these like kind of, she looks like Lawrence of Arabia there, you know? She's got the headgear on and these white scarves, and she's got the goggles on her forehead. And then, I don't know, it looks really cool. So she's having a talk with her first officer saying it's time for you to go. And then they're going to go, we're going to go ahead and we're going to see the ship at warp. Let's hit play. All right, they're zooming through subspace. And here comes the big reveal. All right, let's hit pause for a second. All right, so my first thing was the bridge is gigantic and it's a little dark and the colors are muted. But now I'm over it. Now, this is the voice of me being over it. And what I've noticed here are the uniforms. Now, uniforms don't look like the velour uniforms of the Cage and the early TOS. I'm actually, these uniforms are pretty cool, I think. They look similar to the uniforms. They look like a hybrid of Enterprise uniforms, at least in the colors, and also what Chris Pine and Anton Yelchin wore, because they were in Star Trek Beyond. They were the last to get in the quote-unquote Kelvin pods in Star Trek Beyond, and they were wearing these sort of like rugged... I don't want to even call it. It's like all weather gear or whatever you want to call it. Like they got, you know, it's got like the broad shoulders. And if you notice, you have to look close on this now. our lead character, she's got this piping down the side. Sonequa Martin-Green has what looks like gold piping. And so she is Command, and it's still Command Gold. If you look on our left of the frame, the dude who we'll eventually talk to, who's that alien dude, he's got blue. So it's science blue, once again. It's gold blue. Oh, and
I
then
actually didn't even notice that.
When they don't have red, but I'm noticing that the engineering guys there are some people on this bridge crew that have like bronze or copper. It's probably more like a copper color. And I think those are the equivalents of who would have worn red in TOS. Those are the red shirts. So the red shirts are now copper piping, right? And then later we're going to see the captain and her, she's going to have a little, some more stuff on her shoulders, and her comm badge is going to have some pips on it, which the others don't have. So that's what's going on with the uniform. I love the jacket. I love the zipper. Personally, I think I would look pretty good in one of these things. And at first, I didn't realize the color changes, but when I watched this for the 85th time, I did notice that there were the color changes, and they did work in sync with previously established Star Trek lore. So let's hit play again.
They do come. Often such leaders will need a profound calm.
All right, let's hit pause. So by the way, the first time I watched this, I didn't even hear any of the dialogue.
You're just looking at everything first. Yeah.
It's like, who's this? What's going on? But what's happening here is this is Sarek. James Frayn is playing the role of Sarek. He is about the same age that Mark Lenard was when he first played Sarek in the original series. He looks a lot like Sarek, and it looks pretty cool. So what is new to me, which I had not heard from any of my established sources inside of the Star Trek Empire, was Sarek is... Burnham's mentor of some sort. And the implication that we're going to see is that Burnham was raised on Vulcan. Why? We don't know, because we see her as a kid. And that's coming up in a few shots. And we also see her as a kid with a Vulcan haircut. So this is a really new thing. We have never seen a human raised on Vulcan. We have seen Worf was a Klingon raised on Earth, and we've seen Spock, who is a half-human raised on Vulcan in the Vulcan tradition, but a human raised or at least educated or at least has some long-standing connection with Vulcan is very new. Why the heck she was raised on Vulcan or at least educated there, we don't know. Was her parents ambassadors? Was she lost in a space battle and like Worf and picked up in a basket? We really don't know. But what that says to me is that her personality is going to have, at least, if not Vulcan traits, a Vulcan perspective on things. Although later in this clip, we're going to see that she's a little bit of an aggressor. She's a bit of a hawk. You know, she wants to fire upon the Klingons. And the captain's like, Starfleet does not fire first. And she says, if we don't do it, we're doomed. Which is a little bit of a... That is not necessarily the Vulcan way, although they do see things logically. But anyway... We get a lot of Sarek in this, but he's always in some sort of he's like a hologram. So again, that's new. It's not a view screen, and it's not a. They're not talking to him at a computer console. They're talking to him. He's 3D in a holo projection. So all right, let's hit play again.
For their followers to rally around.
There's Lobot. There's a blue guy. All right, hit pause. Go back a second. I don't know who these bridge people are. I don't even know what the actors' names are. I do have to say, Sonequa Martin-Green, she's beautiful.
Yes.
She looks great. All these close-up, her hair is dynamite. They are not going to have... Remember, Voyager... They were changing Janeway's hair every... No, Sonequa Martin-Green looks gorgeous. So go back a little bit more. One of the dudes on the bridge, he's Lobot.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
There's this guy. I don't know his name. I don't know the actor's name. I don't really care right now, but he's got something on his head. He's wearing Bluetooth headphones. But he does look a little bit like Lobot. Lobot, of course, is the dude from Cloud City in Bespin in the other franchise known as Star Wars, the vastly inferior franchise known as Star Wars, where the dude who was locked into the computers through some sort of cranial cyborg attachments, and we looks like we got one on our bridge. In Star Trek Into Darkness, we had that dude called 0718 who was like a cyborg man, and looks like we got one here. And he's got bronze, you see? So he's a red shirt.
Yeah,
that's my interpretation.
I do notice that now. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know for sure if that's engineering or red shirt, but that's my interpretation. I'm sticking with it until I'm told otherwise. If you hit the space bar for a second, we're gonna see the blue guy next. All right, there's an alien on the bridge, and it's not Saru, played by Doug Jones. This guy, at first, I'm like, he's a Bolian. Remember Mott the Barber from Next Generation? It could be him. But if you look at his face, and there's a little bit of a halo effect with the lighting on this bridge on the Shenzhou, it's very dramatic. So the halo effect makes it kind of difficult to see the contours of his face. But if you look on his left cheek, he's got look like little discs, right?
Yeah, they do look like they're protruding.
Yeah, like little washers. It's like that. I don't know if that is simply a style. It could be a religious thing, like the Bajorans wear the earring around their pog on their ears, or it could just be that he's some sort of cyborg person as well. I don't know. Nevertheless, we've got some cool guys on our bridge. We got a blue guy, we got a Lobot guy, and in a minute we're going to see Saru, and I've got some questions about him. So let's hit play again.
What am I looking at?
Object of unknown origin.
We've come all this way, Captain.
All right, hit pause. We go back for a second. So, all right, so we saw the view screen, and we didn't get a great view of it. We just see, like, a lot of display, and, for a minute it looked like there was a Terok Nor-type space station, but that was just a planet with a lot of rings around it, and there's a lot of blue, again, kind of Tron blue, graphics everywhere. But when you cut back, when you go back a little bit more, and Sanuka Martin Green and Michelle Yeoh are talking in somebody's chambers, probably the captain's chambers. This really hit me. This looked a lot like TOS to me. Go forward a little bit again.
Oh, sure. Known origin.
A little bit more.
Come all this way.
All right, here. So you look behind Sanuka Martin Green's head, and there's a display case with, like, just kind of trophies and various gewgaws, tchotchkes, little things that probably the captain has collected over the course of her career. And I don't know, to me, this looks a lot like Bones's med bay, where there was just, like, a lot of stuff on the shelf. And this is the most TOS shot for me in the whole trailer. Even though the colors are not like TOS, just sort of the concept and the way, like, it's out of focus. You just see, like, these little, what do they look like, vases, trophies, maybe little models?
They look like trophies to me. Yeah. Maybe some decorative vases.
Yeah, but that's something that you didn't see. You saw some of that in Picard's ready room where he had other ships, but this moment is just like, yes, that is what the captain's quarters look like in this era. If this is 10 years before the 5-year mission of the original series, they kind of got this perfectly right. And in this scene, what's happening story-wise is Sonequa Martin-Green is imploring her captain to take some sort of action about something that's looming because they've discovered something. We don't know what it is. It's probably better we don't know. I don't mind not knowing.
I don't want to know too much before I watch it. Because yeah. what are you watching for?
I'm kind of okay with. I like knowing, like, the way thing. I like knowing the surface stuff in a trailer. I like knowing the look and feel.
I like the aspect of the teaser to just tease you a little bit. Like, oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. And then once they get me with that, I don't need to see anything else until it's actually out.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Engage.
Engage.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Energize.
All right, so let's hit play again.
Captain, it would be irresponsible to leave whatever that is under.
That's the EVA suit.
What have you done out
there's
there on the
Sarek Federation again. Now she's floating in space.
Computer, enable igniter.
This fall. Now, this is awesome. All right. We're about to see. Go forward just a little bit. We're on some rock. There's like a sarcophagus going up to the sky. I was thinking of a next shot, but let's keep going again. All right, there they are. Yeah. There are the Klingons. Oh, my God. So the Klingons look different, and everybody had a heart attack. The Klingons look, listen, we had the TOS Klingons, then we had the first movie Klingons, and then we had the Next Generation Klingons, and then we had Star Trek Into Darkness Klingons, and every single Klingon looked different. And these Klingons, I don't know why they look different. You know, I don't think we're We're going to find out if they tell us why. Maybe they're from the Australia of Klingon, you know, of the planet. Maybe they're from a different region. That's why they look different. But once you get over the fact that they look different, they look pretty wild. These are like the nuttiest looking Klingons I've seen. And the decor of what's happening in wherever they are, it's like an asteroid or something they're hanging out on. It's like Thanos from the Marvel films. When you look really close at the Klingon uniforms, there are some nice touches that are reminiscent of original series. Like, that has, like, if you look underneath all of the suits, and we'll get to a close up later, they have like the chainmail that Kor Koloth and Kang wore in the original series. Pretty wild. And if you notice also here, there's color coordinated. The two guys in front are like in a charcoal, like a bone gray or something. And then the dude behind him's in like a rust color in this like kind of creepy land with torches everywhere. It's got a cool kind of like orc feel, you know?
I can see that.
You know, I am cognizant of the fact that these Klingons look different. I think they're going to act similar because there's a shot later on where clearly a Klingon is dead and they're doing that thing where they yell up at the sky, which is what Klingons do when one of their companions die. They go, roar, and they, you know, cry up to the heavens so that he does not enter Grithor and instead enters Stovokor. But let's continue on for a second because I want to get to that one shot where they're on like this rock in space, which just looks bananas.
Captain, warp signatures detected.
Contact Starfleet Command. We have engaged the Klingons.
By the way, Klingon insignia exactly the same. In fact, you know, I happen to be wearing my Klingon shirt today. And when red alert happens on the ship, there's red lights, which is nice. Did you notice like the light?
I did see that.
So we have engaged the Klingons, and now there's like some kind of like Game of Thrones like chamber with this wacky looking room, and we're about to get the close up of what I assume is the big bad guy. Let's take a look. There he is. Look at that outfit. So it's got the chainmail underneath. He's got like webbing on top of it. And there are like little red, like on his shoulders, there's like, it's dipped in red.
Yeah, like little gems or
something. Yeah, like rubies. Which is like, is he like, you know, like a vain Klingon? Is he like a fancy lad Klingon? Or is this just like, these are the gems of my enemies that I have stolen from their quarries? You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's really cool. So this is the guy. I don't know who he is, but this is the guy. Let's see. He's going to yell in a minute. Let's take a look. Discover adventure, it says.
You will never learn, Vulcan. Your tongue is too human.
All right. Oh, wait. I love that shot, which is I was pissing and moaning a minute ago how there wasn't enough color. There's a shot of Burnham. She's remembering from her youth when Sarek told her she could never be a Klingon. And then is she like in a bio bed?
It looks like it, yeah.
It looks like she's in some sort of bio bed. She's got something over her. She's not wearing much, but she's got the medical facility around, and she's in what looks like a honeycomb.
It does look like that.
She's in some sort of yellow, weird, 2001-ish. Everything's an octagon, right? Is that 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Yep. It's a hexagon, right?
Hexagon.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everything's very hexagonal here on Star Trek Discovery. There's a hexagonal portal. And she's getting well. I don't know if this is on Klingon or on in the Federation ships, or maybe even on that weird, or in Vulcan, I meant to say. I don't know if this is back on Vulcan or if she's on like the Klingon rock or whatever. But she's in some sort of biobed in what looks like a honeycomb. She's going to become a bee, I guess. So, all right, let's hit play.
I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save all of you.
The hallway looks nice. Oh, my God, there's a white light. I love that shot. There was the reminded me of the cage, and I think this is meant. There's this matte. Nowadays they don't do matte paintings, but it's a resembling of the matte painting from the cage, where instead of having a castle in the background, you see the two people walking. It's cut back to the beginning. You see Burnham and the captain walking on the desert planet, and you see many planets in the background, the moon and the sun or whatever. Probably on Vulcan, because if you know, Vulcan is a, you know, desert planet, and I believe there are multiple, have been some establishing shots on Vulcan in the films, Star Trek Motion Picture especially, where you do see a lot of stuff hanging out, celestial stuff in the background. So my guess is this is Vulcan, but I can't be for sure. But it looks great, this shot, this very wide shot with, the planets in the background. A little reminiscent of Star Wars too, but Star Trek did it first and did it better. Okay, let's go forward. There's the yelling Klingons. They're so upset, and here Burnham's upset. She's yelling at her boss. You can see her mouth right open. Let's roll.
Cut off its head. Stop.
Wait, no, I want to know what that was back there. Hold on.
There is three shots in a row of like what the hell's going on. So you got main Klingon dude is enraged and agonized and screaming up to the heavens. Then you cut to his buddy on the deck.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to know what it was.
All right, and then
know.
You cut back to the desert planet, and there's like a. He looks like a hermit crab monster.
It kind of does look like a hermit crab.
It's like a giant man-sized hermit crab, and he's got like a face of just like it looks like dreadlocks coming out of his nose and mouth, right?
Yeah, something.
He's like some kind of crustacean dude, and I hope that he's in every episode.
Yes. I think this is a good sign. These are some really good effects. I mean, some of it looks practical as well. I mean,
yeah, no. When I saw this, I got very, very excited because there's going to be another thing was like a robot man coming up. So this is like real evidence of, oh man, there's a lot of money in this. They took a lot of effort to create aliens that we've never seen on Star Trek before. I've never seen this crustacean dude, something quite like him. Certainly not. On the TNG budget, you know?
The one thing that kind of bothers me about this, though, is that being that this is so close to TOS and all that, I mean, yeah. We've already seen at least three different aliens we've never heard of before. So, like, what happened to them? You know, like, where have they been?
Yes, right. You're right. Why have we never seen them again? Well, to be determined.
Maybe you can get away with that with like one or two of them. So like, oh, they're very rare, or they're the species are going extinct or something.
Well,
or,
you know, they're always in the background. You know, at least in the films, they're always in the background, and that is a good problem to have. More
yes, absolutely.
Groovy aliens. I mean, what we're not seeing in this are aliens that are pre-established. We're not seeing Ferengi, Cardassians, or even like good guys, like or even. Or you know, Andorians, Tellarites. We're not seeing that level of commitment to pre-existing canon. But instead of that, we're seeing the blue guy with the washers in his face, Lobot, Saru, who we haven't, you know, the guy who can smell death, which we're getting to in a minute. And then this dude with the stuff hanging off his face that looks like a crab man. And then hit play again. We're going to see this robot guy.
Stop.
Yeah, what is that?
I missed him.
Yeah, who is that? Is he on the deck? Is he a machine or a man? I'm saying he. I don't mean to be so gender specific. I'm just saying that is a person. That is a what is that? Is that somebody with a thing on his head? Or
you know
is that
what?
A robot?
That might be a helmet. I mean, look. Is that okay. Skin there?
All right.
Or is that just part of that same color?
Tell me, Brian, what is the exact time code on this for people who maybe are
149.
All right, 149 for a brief flash. You see this thing. Now it could be Burnham with a helmet on her head, or it could be somebody else.
Oh, it says USS. What's the ship's name? I keep forgetting.
Shenzhou.
It says it on the side there. Actually, now that I'm noticing it.
All right, it says Shenzhou on the side. So what we're looking at is possibly some sort of virtual reality gear. Maybe. Maybe Burnham is doing this away mission that she went in the EVA suit. And she went to the Klingon rock to meet Klingon Thanos. And Captain Michelle Yeoh is wearing this on her head to see what she sees. Now, that does violate a little bit of canon because we never saw technology like that any time before on Star Trek. But it looks really cool. Or it could be that this is some kind of cyborg man. I don't know.
I mean, my guess is this is a helmet.
Yeah, it looks like a helmet with a really cool display on the front with like blue Tron stuff going on. But it also looks a little beat up. See,
I can see that, yeah.
The look of Discovery so far, and again, we haven't seen the deck of Discovery. We've only seen the Shenzhou. It's got like kind of that gray Battlestar Galactica quality, but the displays have that sort of you know, laser blue, you know, Tron, or even like a little bit of the look of Rogue One had that look also.
Well, I mean, I think that's almost like an aesthetic from the Kelvin movies. I mean, like they had those really bright lights there, even though it's kind of a bit of a darker looking thing.
Yeah, I mean, they had a tough time because they have to make this look distinct from the Kelvin, and also they don't have as much budget as the Kelvin movies, and
Absolutely.
Also it's got to be different. It's tough, you know. They definitely have a the production designers on this show certainly have a big task ahead of them. I don't envy them.
I agree.
But so far, I think they're doing a pretty bang up job. So let's see who's after the robot guy.
Starfleet doesn't fire first.
We have to.
All right, here's
my
the big moment.
We're biological.
Let's
determined for one purpose alone: to sense the coming of death. I sense it coming now.
All right, let's hit pause for a second. All right, we got to dig into this because this is awesome. I'm assuming this guy is Lieutenant Saru, Doug Jones's character.
It sounds like him.
Sounds like him. He's tall. I mean, you can't see his face because he's underneath a pile of
One thing I noticed too, to add to you before with the colors and the uniforms, you don't get a clear look of it here, but it looks like it's like gold, silver, and bronze instead of
more. Is it like a bluish silver?
Well, no, it looked really like there was. We froze on a shot earlier. I didn't say it, but it looked very silver rather than blue. I think that that's kind of an interesting
gold, silver, bronze is the Olympics.
Yeah.
You could be right. In fact, you probably are right, but the lighting on the ship is kooky.
There is some weird blue lights. I mean, like we froze a shot earlier that there was a blue light on him, on his uniform, on the blue part.
Yeah.
So it could be the lighting in the bridge.
Gold, silver, bronze certainly makes a lot more sense now that we mention it. But
because you can tell that she has gold.
Yeah.
And then that the Lobot definitely had bronze.
Yeah.
So
I know that we got to get Lobot's real name. I can't call him Lobot too much longer. I'm going to get people yelling at me, but we're going to call him Lobot for now. Saru, he has, you know, I've been biologically bred for one purpose, to sense death. That's a very limited skill set.
I'd say so.
So why is he a bridge commander? Why is he on the bridge crew? If he's canary in the coal mine, what does he do when he's not sensing death? Is he just like, you know, playing Candy Crush? I mean, does he do other things?
Well, didn't the description say he was a science officer?
Yeah, I guess, but like...
Well, what exactly?
Like, he does that in his spare time. He's like, really, I'm here to sense death. But while I'm
he's a space mortician.
Now, here's the other thing, though. So he's there to sense death biologically. Now, I would understand that if, you know, there are dogs that can smell cancer. Do you know about this?
I've heard that, yes.
Yeah. So if this is an alien creature who can sense the coming of a biological death, I'm willing to buy that. You know, there's somebody who has illness inside them. To sense mechanical death from an accident, that's impossible.
Maybe it's more of a modified precognition-y kind of feeling.
Okay, if he's going to sense, like, for example, if he is aware that a photon torpedo is about to hit them, you know, by some miracle, everybody could be saved. The shields could hold up.
That's true.
What does he have some sort of access to time travel that he's aware? Do his neutrinos know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now somehow? How does he sense death? I can understand if he can sense disease and decay, but how can he sense, let's say, for example, Lobot was about to go pick up a hammer and hit the blue guy over the head. How would he know? Maybe it's ESP. He can kind of tell.
Maybe.
Like the Betazoids.
So
this is my first question.
I have a question to ask you. What is the actual wording he says? Is it
go back? I don't know. Yeah. You're the helmsman here.
I sense it coming now.
No, I have to go back for it. Sorry about that.
Come on, Saru.
I sense it coming.
Damn it!
It's the worst. All right, here we go. Go all the way back.
All right, all right.
We're biologically determined for one purpose alone.
What does that mean? Biologically determined.
I think that means genetic tinkering.
That's who would have done
His people. I don't think the Federation would not stand for.
Okay.
That.
Okay. Well, I'm saying maybe
is the reason
we only have seen one of them is because he was created somehow.
Yeah. See, the Federation does not dig on genetic mutations in a post-con environment. So this is after the 1990s. Genetic mutation is out. Dr. Bashir later on is another story, but it would be, you know, let's say he comes from Planet X, let's call him. So the Planet X people would have biologically generated themselves that way or something. I don't know. I hope to learn more because I'm fascinated. You know, I can guarantee you, I know the minds of the people who run IDW Comics and our good friend John Van Sitters over at CBS Licensing. I have never been more sure of anything in my life. There is going to be an Origins comic for this dude that is going to knock all of our socks off. There's going to be, if not a one-shot, a mini-series, that is going to be just about where this guy comes from and how he got his powers and how he got into the Federation, because they think like we think. We want to know more about this guy. So stay tuned on that. That's going to be glorious. All right, let's see what he says again, word for word.
To sense the coming of death. I sense it coming now.
First of all, how can he sense anything? He's got no nostrils. His nostrils are like back by his ears.
Maybe that's how he can do it. Maybe they're you just don't see him.
He looks great.
It does look really cool. You know,
now, again, beat it, Doug Jones.
Very practical and very good-looking effects.
Yeah, he must spend a long time in the makeup chair. Although, for all we know, there's probably some digital in there too. We don't know.
There probably is something in there.
He looks great, and he looks like a cool character. So he senses the coming of death. Now, here's where I'm going to spitball once again to the listeners. I don't know anything. I know as much as you know at this point about this show. My guess is that we're seeing clips from the pilot, and the Shenzhou is going down, and most of the people we see in this are getting killed.
I agree.
I think Michelle Yeoh, I think she's getting killed.
I think so too.
I think Lobot, blue guy, they're gone. Don't get too attached to them. I think
maybe that's why we don't see them again.
Burnham,
they die.
And Saru is going to somehow save Burnham, or Burnham is going to save Saru somehow. And they're going to get out, and they're going to get on their ship, the Discovery. And I hope the Discovery has a little bit more red in it. But if it doesn't, I'll live.
So this is the question I have, too, now. Is this taking place before or after that scene where she's saying, we have to attack first? I mean, is this a forewarning of that and why she's saying that, maybe?
No, this is what we're about to see is the last... This clip, this is my guess now. I'm totally spitballing. Saru saying, I sense the coming of death, is the last scene of Episode 1. Episode 2... is the Shenzhou getting the shit knocked out of it? I'm guessing. I don't know anything. I'm a fan like you. I have no access. I do not have all access to all access. I have no access. My guess is Episode 2 is the Shenzhou getting killed, and battles and death and some survival in Episode 3 is Burnham and Saru somehow getting aboard the Discovery, being saved by that other dude. There's another captain. I forget. There's another actor.
Jason Isaacs.
Yeah, Jason Isaacs.
Who actually had a great tweet. Somebody tweeted to him, well, why aren't you in the trailer? And he says, well, because I'm not.
because he's not in it until Episode 3. When he picks up Saru and Burnham somehow on that rock. Maybe they get captured. Maybe they get captured by the Klingons. And that's what they're yelling about. They're on the space rock.
Maybe.
With Klingon Thanos. All right, well, we got anything left on this? I think this is the last shot.
I think. Oh yeah, wait. What's that?
They're on the rock.
That's the rock.
This is like they're, and she's not holding anything, but he's holding some sort of Klingon weapon we've never seen before.
Yeah, it's clearly not a bat.
It's not a bat left, but it's some sort of weapon. It's hard to see. It's a little dark. They need flashlights.
Yeah, they do need some flashlights, like on the helmets.
And I think this is it, right?
You see him do that strike there.
Yeah, and then the music. Let's play it through. The music sounds good. We didn't really talk about how the insignia this fall on CBS All Access is going to be the greatest $8 you spend a month. It's going to be, we didn't talk a little bit about the insignia looks a little different, but then there are other, if you really hunt for Easter eggs, when she's when she's talking to Sarek in one of those moments, you'll see the insignia looks a little bit more traditional. That level of scrutiny, I don't want to get into, but that's basically it, and it's pretty damn exciting, you know? I mean, I think the new Klingons are kind of, they're crazy looking. I'm kind of excited. I mean, they got jewels on them and new weapons. I love that EVA suit she's wearing. I love, you know, we didn't really get a good look at the tricorder, but I like the communicator. I like their beaming look. Looks really cool. I dig the uniforms a lot. I have admitted that I'm a little bit, I don't want to say underwhelmed, but the bridge of the Shenzhou is not, if somebody came to me and said, please, Jordan, design our ship bridge, it would not have been what I have picked. But, you know, maybe the next one will be more to my liking. And also, who cares what I think? I'm just one guy. So overall, it's pretty damn exciting. And it's going to be on CBS All Access this fall. $6 a month, for God's sakes, is not a big deal. It's the price of a Happy Meal. You're going to get your new Star Trek for at least 3 months, and it's going to be great. And if you live in Canada, you can watch it on Crave. And if you live in Europe, you're going to watch it on Netflix. And to the fans, it's going to be a little different. You know, maybe your friend in Toronto is going to see the show an hour before. Like, who knows how these shows are going to, quote unquote, drop.
That's like, good point, yeah.
There may be some more slight miscommunications in the way this new property is distributed. So
actually, I mean, do we even know if it's going to be like dropped all at once on Netflix?
It's going to be what I'm told is it's going to be week to week.
But I mean, that's something that Netflix doesn't do that.
No, you're right. So I don't really know. Like maybe Europe will have to wait. I don't know. I'm not the right guy to ask, but I can tell you this. There's a possibility that you, the listener, are going to be in a situation where someone on the internet has seen the new episode before you, even though you're a paying member of whatever you use, Crave, Netflix, or All Access. And what you need to do is calm down. it's not flip, or just be yourself and don't flip out like the guy on YouTube did. Because even though he was funny, but he was not tongue in cheek, he was serious. You know, it's a new thing. And listen, All Access is a new thing. It's a brave new world. All Access. You know, every other channel, NBC, ABC, Fox, they would love to have a show like Star Trek that has enough of a following and is of quality enough to launch their new streaming platform. They all wish they can do it. Only CBS can, because only they have Star Trek. In 1987, when The Next Generation started, it was the first show to be on syndication and not a network. That was major. And it was as big a deal for that as it was for this. A lot of people are too young. I mean, I was a kid. It didn't really mean much to me. All it meant for me was I lived in the New York area, and Next Generation would come on at a certain time. And on the weekends, when my parents would sometimes take me to my grandparents' house, and they lived outside of Philly, Southern Jersey, all it meant was like, oh, crap, Next Generation is on a different time. Like, I got to get the paper and figure out what time, because it was syndicated.
Oh, that used to be a very exciting time for me when I was a kid. Like, looking at the paper, trying to find out what was coming on TV.
Right, in a new area. It's like, yeah. Here I am. So, because other major shows of the era, what else was on in 1987? You know, Kate and Allie, The Fall Guy, whatever.
I was 6 or 7, yeah, so. Right. I mean,
whatever shows were on at the time, if it was on CBS at 8:30 on Tuesdays, it was on CBS at 8:30 on Tuesdays, no matter where the hell you lived. But for Next Generation, which blasted through all sorts of barriers and changed the way television was forever, as Star Trek tends to do, they had a new method. And they're having a new method with All Access. And the pros are only Star Trek can do it. Embrace it. It means that we're great. The cons are nobody likes to spend more money than they were doing the week before. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want to spend $6 a month. It's not what I didn't wake up this morning saying, I want to spend $6 a month more than I was spending last month. But the rewards are there. So there are some people on the internet who are, you know, stirring up the sauce. You know, you're going to spend $6 for this show? The answer is yeah. Well, I am.
The other thing too is, if you look at a show like Game of Thrones, which is the most pirated show, quote unquote, I mean, they look at that as a badge of honor. So, I mean, if people even do that, I mean, that's a plus in another way. You know, as long as people are talking about it and happy about it, I'm happy about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I don't pirate shows just because it's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I don't.
I have very rarely. There was one. I had to do something. For something I was writing. I had to write a list about Steven Spielberg. I was doing a thing for film.com, a site that doesn't exist anymore. And I had been commissioned to do an article. I was going to list the films of Steven Spielberg in a rank. From 37 to 1, however many movies he's made. And I wanted to do it right. And the truth of the matter is that when I took the gig, I had never seen one of his films.
Wow.
I had never seen 1941, the much maligned film 1941. Which is not as bad as they say, but it sure as hell ain't good. I'd never seen it. I'd seen maybe 5 minutes of it on TV. And when I took the gig, I said, all right, I'm going to rent it. I want to do it right. I'm a man of honor. And I went to Netflix, and it was not available. and I went to Amazon, and I could not legally watch this movie in time for the deadline of my article. And I couldn't even like get off my ass and go to a store and buy it. Where am I going to buy a
Birkin? I've never even heard of the movie before.
It was a bigger deal. You're a little younger. It was a big deal because it had Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi in it. It's like a parody of World War II
movies. I'm even more surprised that I haven't heard of it.
It's a weird movie. It's not that bad. And like Eddie Deason is in it. And it's set. You know what? We'll do the Spielberg podcast. But you should check out the trailer to 1941.
Okay,
we'll
do that.
It's a weird looking movie. It's kind of, it's not good, but it's interesting. It is a noble failure is what it is. The point of the story is I had to torrent it. I'm not gonna you know, this torrenting happens.
Well, I think that's what happens.
Let me get to the ending of my brilliant story here. So I call a friend who's like younger and, you know, more into breaking the rules than I am, and I'm like, I gotta watch this movie today. I screwed up. I could have gotten it through the mail Netflix, but I needed to watch it that day. I just assumed that it would be streamable somewhere. And I was ready to pay. Yeah. I had my $5.99 ready. So he showed me how to torrent, and it's such a pain in the ass. I'm like, how do young people, I mean, I guess if you have no money, you do it. But it's like, I would never torrent because it's such, and like the first one didn't work, and then it took 4 hours, and it was real complicated.
Well, it's gotten a lot easier.
Oh, okay.
It really has gotten easier. And once you do it once, it's very, right. I mean, I don't do it anymore.
I don't need to anymore.
I mean, it's just. You know, when you have a job and have things, like, yeah, oh, well, I'll spend $5 and then sure.
Yeah.
It's only in extreme circumstances when there's no other way to get it.
Yeah.
Is when you resort to something like that.
All right.
That.
Well, I may call you the next time. I mean, listen, I pay for Netflix and I pay for Amazon Prime. And between those two, there's more than enough to watch. I get HBO Go through my parents. I'll admit that. And I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for Filmstruck to get on Roku because I use a Roku. Filmstruck is like really cool. They have all the cool stuff that used to be on Hulu, all the Criterion Collection films.
Okay.
They have a lot of good older films that are from TCM. And Filmstruck is just, you know, it's only been around for about 6 months. And I don't want to plug my, I don't want to use a, what is it called? HDMI cable into my computer and my television. It's a big pain in the ass. I want to use it through Roku. So once Filmstruck gets on there, I'll pay their monthly. And you know what I'm going to pay their monthly for soon? CBS All Access.
I could
probably get it for free because I know John Van Sitters. I'm going to pay for it.
I'm going to pay for it, too.
You hear that? You hear that, John? You listening? Did you listen through to minute 48 of this podcast? If I'm granted, unless they get me discs early or links early,
of course.
Then I won't pay for it because then there's no need to. But assuming that I'm watching it with the fans, I will pay for All Access. I'm making a statement right here. Brian, thanks for taking the time to listen to me yap about this. I think as a general rule, we're excited about the new show. We don't know exactly when it's going to launch this fall. We also don't know when the Orville is going to launch.
Isn't that this fall as well?
This fall. You know, Star Trek fans do not feel that you need to be on one. This is not a Pepsi versus Coke situation. This is a guzzle it all down. There's this new show, The Orville, which I knew nothing about.
Yeah, no, this came out of nowhere. I saw it pop up in a playlist after I watched this, actually.
Yeah. So The Orville is Seth MacFarlane. I'm mixed on Seth MacFarlane. I like a lot of his stuff. I find Family Guy, if I can't watch a whole episode. It gets annoying after a while.
I grew tired of Family Guy, but I love American Dad.
Yeah, American Dad's really funny. So
actually, The Orville, the redheaded guy is Steve Smith.
Oh, really? Awesome. So The Orville is Seth MacFarlane is doing Galaxy Quest meets Next Generation. And that the set design really looks like Next Generation. And it looks really funny. And a lot of Star Trek people are involved. Jon Favreau is directing the pilot. But Robbie McNeil, as I call him now because I've met him, Tom Paris, is a big TV director. And he's directing it. So that's a hoot for him. And Jonathan Frakes is directing an episode also.
Yep.
It's going to be hilarious for those guys. And it looks like Galaxy Quest.
It does, yes.
And it has a huge budget. It's an hour long. It's going to be 13 episodes on Fox, on Channel 5 here in New York. And believe me, Fox would have liked to have done it on a streaming service, but they can. There's no reason why you could not watch both. Believe me, I'm going to love The Orville. And we'll talk about it on this show.
I hope both are excellent shows.
Yeah. we are going. This is a lot like DS9 Babylon 5.
Good point.
Then they both were successes. They both lasted a really long time, and people love both. You do not have to love one or the other. And officially here, on Engage, the official Star Trek podcast. We are a pro Orville group, and we will not.
Unless it stinks.
I have a hunch it's going to be great.
I do too, actually.
That trailer looks amazing. But we are not going to focus on Orville more than Discovery, but we are going to let it into our lives and have a chuckle with it. It looks great. And wouldn't it be a get if we could get McFarlane on the show to promote the Orville? I don't see why that's a bad idea. It's all love of the Orville is a big salute to Star Trek.
Absolutely.
Like the Orville week to week is a commercial for Star Trek. It's a reminder to go out there and when you're done watching the Orville, go and buy those Blu-rays of the Next Generation.
I think I saw an article. It says they even say it's more Star Trek than Futurama. So I mean,
yes, it is. It's more Star Trek than Futurama for sure. All right, cool. Well, listen, thanks again. Next week, this was, you know, sort of an emergency episode. I've been away. You know, I was in France, and before that I was away. But we're back now, week to week, on Engage, from now through the convention. I bought my tickets today for Star Trek Convention in Las Vegas. I'll be out there the whole week. I just bought my tickets, and I'm going to be on. If you're going to the Star Trek Las Vegas convention, please come say hi to me. There will be a lot of opportunities to say hello, because I'm going to be busy and I'm going to be recording podcasts out there with special guests. Those special guests include cast and crew of the shows that we love, but also fans like you. So if you want to come say hi, we're going to make that happen. Also, you remember weeks past, Brian, we had when we had Ira Stephen Bear and Adam Nimoy on the show.
Yes.
And some people bid on their Indiegogo.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, we're going to get those guests on in the next few weeks.
Oh, that sounds great.
I have all their email addresses. I've been meaning to write to them. One of them wrote to me. I'm like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, I know. I've been really busy. So if you're one of the three or maybe four winners, I don't remember how many, I have your email addresses. I will be emailing you this week. We're going to dial you in. One of them is based in New York. Maybe he'll come by.
I don't know.
We could see. All right, well, thanks again for listening. Next week, we have our On the Road segment where we're going upstate New York. Thanks again for listening to Engage, the official Star Trek podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Jay Hoffman. That's me. You can go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Engage, the official Star Trek podcast. You can watch the trailer to Star Trek Discovery over and over again on YouTube. And I guess that's it. And you're going to see Wonder Woman soon. Next time we talk, we'll talk about Wonder Woman a little bit. Chris Pine, handsome man.
Very.
Very handsome man, and he is the... You know, I was on the plane back from France yesterday, literally yesterday, and Star Trek Beyond was one of the... On Delta, you could watch it.
Okay.
And the screen I had was blurry. Like, it looked like if you take your glasses off, that's what it looked like.
Okay.
And the screen to my left was not blurry. Like, I got hit with a bad screen, basically. Even with the blurry, bad screen on my seat, I watched Star Trek Beyond. That's how good it is. I just listened to it and watched the shapes that sort of look like Jayla and Kienzer and Scotty. It's so great. I love Star Trek Beyond so much. It's so wonderful. All right, so that's what's going on. We'll see you next week. Until then, live long and prosper.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.